Welcome back to the Born to Ball podcast, guys, on this beautiful Saturday, Conference Championship Saturday. Of course, you know, already Saturday, like I said. But anyways, we got a lot to talk about, man. It's been a good minute. Life happened once again this week. I lost some creative juices, but, you know, regardless, I gotta battle that. And I gotta show up, and I gotta talk some ball, man. It's gonna be a two-episode thing. You know, I'm not gonna look toward. We're gonna talk about the NFL, mainly tomorrow, slate. In the second episode right now, we're going to talk about what's really happened, stuff in the MLB, NBA, little stuff like that, man. So, as always, hope you guys enjoy, and yeah, let's get into it. All right, first thing we should talk about most def is college football, because, you know, big weekend. Tomorrow, we'll get the full playoff rankings. We'll know who's where, who plays each other, but man, right now, let's talk about what happened on Friday, so basically two blowouts, you know, an American Conference Championship game, and I think this was Conference USA Championship game. So Jacksonville State just ran Western Kentucky out the building. Army ran Tulane out the building. You know, just, I don't know, wasn't really expecting that. I thought Tulane would win, but apparently not. But Boise State, though, Ashton Jeanine would have my Heisman vote, man. He's been killing it. He had 32 carries, 223 total yards, and one TD. Of course, he broke off for 75 yards at the end of the first half, and he cooked it up. UNLV couldn't respond offensively. They were just getting fried, man. And all the Boise State Broncos had to do was score three TDs, and that game was theirs, man. So as of now, Boise State is in the playoffs. That spot's locked. Now, if they'll get a bye or not, everybody thought they would get a bye, but we'll talk about Arizona State, I guess, right now, because, you know, that was the first game to really kick off on this beautiful Saturday. Sorry to pause. Oregon just took the lead, man. This is tight end. Sadiq? Hey, I don't know, man. Baller. I don't know if I pronounced that last name right, but basically, man, Arizona State, though, like I was saying, they kicked it off with the Big 12 championship, and they just dominated Iowa State. I had Arizona State originally winning, but Cam Scattibo, that's what I'm saying, this Scattibo, he's part of this running back revival in college football, man. You had guys like Devin Neal, Ashton Jeanine, Cam Scattibo. I mean, you've got ballers all over the country. Nick Singleton. I mean, the running back revival kicked off in the NFL, which I'll kind of talk about in the next episode, but in college football, it's happening too, man. Scattibo has proved to be, like, I think, a late first round pick if a team there needs a running back, or he'll be early second, man. But Sam Levitt, though, quarterback for the Sun Devils, he balled out. He had three TDs, 219 yards. Overall, Iowa State just couldn't get their game off. They just got caught by surprise, gave up way too many explosive plays, and yeah, that shit was the moral of the story for Iowa State. They just weren't ready. Arizona State proved that they were by far the best Big 12 team in the country. Well, of course, the best Big 12 team out there. Anyways, though, man, they proved they did their thing. Yeah, they deserve it, though. I think they deserve the bye over Boise State. I think that win was way more impressive than what Boise State did versus UNLV. If it was a little closer, I guess you can make the argument, but right now, I think Arizona State deserves that bye. You know, Boise State should go travel somewhere. It's unfortunate, but I think Arizona State looked impressive. Other news, Mac, Ohio dogged out the Miami of Ohio. Timothy, God, I can't ever pronounce his name. Just know if you watch Dune, you know what I'm talking about. Basically, Chabonet? I don't know how to pronounce his last name, bro. I've never tried it. I just know he's Lisanagi, the prophet in Dune. Great movies, by the way. Anyways, though, he was only got to predict Ohio. You know, his segment on College Game Day was hilarious because he actually gave in-depth. I don't know if they did that because of a tweet saying, imagine he went up there and talked like he knew ball. Granted, he is a sports head. He's just another guy. So, respect to him, though. He did predict this win for Ohio. He got Texas wrong, which I guess we'll talk about right now. Quinn Ewers and Sark sold the game, in my opinion. I thought a lot of people were talking about Arch Manning getting in there. I would have been for it if they did it early. But once he got past that first half, man, and you didn't bring him in, he was never going to happen, unfortunately. Quinn Ewers threw two interceptions. I mean, it was just a mess of a game for Quinn Ewers. Kind of just not looking like that elite quarterback that came out of high school. Overall, though, man, they had playmakers all over the field. Matthew Golden did his thing. Silas Bolden, excuse me. Goodness, a lot of guys did their thing, man. Ryan Wingo had a great, I thought, third down catch. Isaiah Bond really didn't show up, only one catches for 22 yards. Overall, Arch Manning came in, did like a option play or whatever. On the Georgia side of things, Carson Beck got injured late in the game, nearly the same injury he had versus Georgia Tech, where his arm got hit on a sack. Unfortunately, went out at halftime, and then it was Gunnar Stockton who came in and took over. Of course, he had that one bad interception, which could have been a pick six if number three on Texas decided to block the tight end that was in front of him. And Texas would have took it to the crib, take the lead with around 2 minutes to go. And I don't think Gunnar Stockton was going to go down and score a TD to match that, in my opinion. So that All-22 will be huge when Texas fans get it, or the Texas program gets it and they review it, because he just throws up the celly, doesn't even try to block dude in. Instead of pick six, they get the interception, and I'm pretty sure Quinn Ewers threw it right back. No, he didn't. Excuse me, I am so wrong. They ended up taking it down and getting a field goal. But overall, though, solid game. First SEC championship game ever to go to overtime, and it was solid. Trevor Etienne got the touchdown. Of course, the Florida transfer. Never been in a game like that. He did his thing, though, man. So salute to him. Overall, though, it was a good game. It was a snooze fest. I nearly fell asleep halftime. I just wasn't feeling the game, man. But overall, though, kicked off solid for sure, I would say about that. Right now, Marshall leads Louisiana 7-3. SMU ended up fumbling on the first drive. Clemson got a 35-yard touchdown. Recipient was Brian Wesco Jr. Kate Kubenak. I'm gonna call him Kubenak, right? Klubnik. I don't know. Klubnik. That's what his name is. Klubnik. Oregon right now is up 7-0, like I said. They had that solid touchdown. Tyler Warren just called a third down pass. I expect Oregon to blow the roof out. They're just gonna do their thing. And while we're at talking about college football, I might as well just bring up the fact that this is one of the last two Born and Ball podcast episodes right now, for the foreseeable future, probably for the rest of the year. Might come back around NFL playoff time. Who knows? But like I originally said, this was for a class. To be honest, that class is wrapping up. So I probably need to get these two. Nick Singleton, goodness. Oh, sorry. Losing focus. Nick Singleton nearly took that to the crib. But it'll be nice to have his overall touchdowns. But anyways, like I said, though, since this probably will be the last episode for foreseeable future, and we'll probably be in the thick of playoffs if I think about coming back, I might as well give my predictions. I'm not going to go into every game. Right now, I have Oregon winning the national championship game. Yes, Nick Singleton just went off for a nice run, but they weren't going to smother Penn State the whole game. But I just think they're head and shoulders above every other team in the nation, excluding Georgia. Even though Georgia didn't look that real impressive, I would take them in the national championship game versus Georgia, but everybody else, I think they would wash. Georgia's the only competition for me, in my opinion. I don't trust Ohio State against them again. I only trust Georgia. So right now, my prediction would be drop pass. Anyways, my prediction would be Oregon to win the national championship game. Right now, let me look at bowl projections. This is what they got right now, okay? Is that Colorado? Okay. They clearly don't got that right. Yeah, so this is wrong. Let me just make sure I can actually get something accurate real quick. So, if I could give you my wins. Oregon is the projected, one seed to get the bye. Georgia will get their bye. SMU or Clemson will get their bye. Right now, I think Clemson wins this game. SMU doesn't look that impressive right now, so pretend Clemson gets the bye. And right now, I give Arizona State the bye. Arizona State, excuse me, Boise State at Penn State, if things hold up. Give me Penn State. I just think they're the better team than Boise State. You'd get Tennessee at Ohio State is pretty sure a lock. I think they're just locked up right there. So give me Ohio State. I just think they'll be a better team than Tennessee. Ryan Day will get fired, though. I don't think they win the national championship. That's the only way he would not get fired if they won. So yeah, give me Ohio State at home. Indiana at Texas will happen. Give me Texas. You just lost to a good Georgia team. A great Georgia team. Granted, situation though, with Gunnar Stockton coming in, I don't like it. Drew Aller's ass, by the way. Number 11 seed at number 6, Notre Dame. Give me Notre Dame. All right. So, unfortunately, I don't know what happens after that. I think Penn State goes to the lower seed, so Arizona State. Penn State would. Nope, give me Arizona State. That's my upset. Arizona State beats Penn State at wherever they play at. Yeah. So give me Arizona State over Penn State. I think Ohio State and Tennessee, they head to, I don't know where they head to. Just know where I got Oregon winning. I kind of wish they gave me a bracket for my on three, but they don't have pictures. They just talk about that. Oh, here's a better picture. I'm so sorry, guys, for making this long. Anyways, I would have Penn State beating Boise State. They go on to play Arizona State. Give me Arizona State. Tennessee, Ohio State, either one of them goes to Oregon. Not goes to play at Oregon, but still. Give me Oregon versus Ohio State. Notre Dame versus Clemson. Give me Notre Dame. It would be Texas at Georgia again. Give me Georgia. Yeah, Georgia versus Notre Dame. Oregon versus Arizona State. Give me Oregon beating Arizona State. Give me Georgia beating Notre Dame. National championship game. Oregon versus Georgia. Give me Oregon. That's it. That's my college football playoff prediction. My Heisman winner, who I wanted to be, is Ashton Jeantine. Not going to happen. I think it goes to Travis Hunter. My real wish is they split the Heisman Award. They won't do that, though. But that's it for college football. I'm still watching the game, so I'll update anything crazy happens. But right now, it's best we shift gears from college football and we talk a little. Of course, Clemson just went up nearly. They're about to go up 14-0. So SMU, not looking that ready. Anyways, though, it's time to stop talking college football. And let's talk about a little NBA real quick. So instead of going to every game and be like, this was good, this was that. No, we're going to go off the standings. Cavaliers, number one for the East, still look impressive. Evan Mobley, I think, had over 20 points in the first quarter. He had like 5 threes. When he's on his shit, man, this team looks very good. I still don't take them over the Celtics, but I think they're sidelining themselves up to be head and shoulders above everybody else, excluding the Celtics. That'd be an obvious Eastern Conference Finals matchup, but who knows, man? Who knows? Number two, the Celtics. Of course, they've been doing their thing. Just beat the Bucks Friday night. Good win. Even though the Bucks aren't really like that, I think a good win versus a healthy Dame and Giannis is a good one nonetheless. Number three, the Magic, who just unfortunately found out that Franz Wagner is out for at least a month. He'll be reevaluating in 4 weeks. That's both Paolo and Franz. I think Paolo is to return maybe early January. Either way, their injury luck is horrible, man, because Franz was hooping. That also has opened up more all-star spots for the reserves because I don't think Paolo will be eligible. I don't know if you're eligible off all-star or not. I think in the awards, I think he won't be all-NBA for sure. But number four, the Knicks. I don't know. I think I did cover the game where they blew the Nuggets out. But regardless, they had a good blowout win versus the Nuggets. They've been doing their thing as a team. Cat is out tonight. But when Cat's doing his thing, man, I love this team a lot. The way the bracket would stand is I think they play 4 and 5. So they would be on the one seed side. If they ended up playing the Cavs, that would be a really good series. So I like that. Number five, the Hawks. Ice Trey the game. Had a great game winner versus the Lakers on Friday night. That was a great game overall. Him and Jalen Johnson. I love that tandem. Dyson Daniels is one of my favorite players to watch in the league. He's just so good. Last night, he got a steal, but got blocked by LeBron. But either way, though, he's a baller. I love watching try-hard defenders. One of my favorite players in the league to watch in general. That's my favorite. One of my favorite categories to watch is try-hard defenders, as long as when I'm not playing them. But number six, the Bucks, 11-11. Make a wish. Sorry, that was corny. They're okay. I still don't like this. Chris Middleton is, I think, returning in I think maybe tonight. I don't know. I doubt they play tonight, but he's returning very soon. That's all you need to know. It'd be interesting to see them do it. When I talk about them, Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, Giannis, Dame, really get to see them work together. Right now, they're at the sixth seed. I think their ceiling is at fifth seed. Their floor is 8. Their ceiling is 5. I don't see them being better than their ceiling is 4 because it depends if the Magic fall or not. It all depends if the Magic fall or not. 7 Heat, they had a good blowout win versus the Lakers. Jimmy Butler's getting it through this thing. Bam Adebayo was struggling with layups early in the season. As he gets on that, back to his good thing, you know, that team looks decent. Like I said, playing. They're going to continue to do their thing, though. I respect the Heat team, and they're always going to be in playing contention. They're not going to be that bad, for real. Number eight, the Nets. They are still number eight. Dennis Schroeder, Cam Johnson, great vets. I think Cam Thomas is currently out right now with the injury, so you know they're not, you know, they're not gonna be able to really do their thing for it. But Cam Johnson, Dennis Schroeder are great vets. I think that will get dealt at the deadline. It's gonna be interesting to see what Brooklyn does. Do you embrace the tank, send these guys out, and embrace that tank, or do you say, hey, the East is bad, we can still make the play-in or playoffs with a bad record and still hope to get some lottery luck? Because that's still possible, and it also depends. I think this is a really good draft class. It's not all about Cooper Flagg, Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey. Man, you got ballers. There's, of course, more I could have named. Just not that into college basketball right now. Soon, though, I will be, but right now I'm not that into to give the, you know, all the prospects, but there's enough prospects to feel good about just, you know, not getting that number one overall pick. If you feel like it's a good season where you guys see guys like Nick Claxton, Cam Thomas all take a step up, and you still make the playoffs, that's good. Nonetheless, that is still good in my opinion. Number nine, the Pacers. Tyrese Haliburton has been struggling, you know, on road games because of the hotel bed and sleep. That's what they've been saying. It's a little joke. But overall, though, his health is important. Andrew Nimhardt has been out, I think. They haven't been the healthiest. So that's where they're probably at right now. But like I said, their ceiling is probably 7 through 9. Maybe 6 through 9. That's their ceiling and floor. Don't see them getting farther than that. 10-11, Bulls, Pistons. Bulls just need to let guys like Matas do his thing. Vooch has been popping off. I just don't like that team. I think it's not embrace the tank. It's embrace the rebuild. You got to send guys like Zach, Vooch. You got to send all these guys off. I just don't think there's no reason. You're not. Congrats on a playing spot, but you just need to embrace the rebuild. You got a good little center. Not, I want to say centerpiece, but you got a good start off with Matas, who people thought he could be like, you know, a top pick. But you got him late in the lottery. He's got that talent. I like him. Pistons. They're right around where I think they were. I thought they could be a playing team. That 10th spot is exactly where I think they will be. Cade's been doing his thing. Jaden Ivey had a game winner a couple weeks ago. Overall, I like this team. If they can stay healthy, their vets show Malik Beasley, Tobias Harris. If your vets can show up, that's just going to pour in, you know what I'm saying? Number 12, you got the Raptors. They're doing their thing, tanking, man. Scotty, he just stays healthy, get his stats. Let your young guys get his stats. He's going to keep shooting that three ball well. Overall, just keep doing your thing. Stink. There's no point for you to be in the play-in. Embrace the tank. Get another franchise piece, man. 13, 76ers. It's getting more and more likely Joel Embiid's not playing this season. You're kind of distancing yourself from being, you know, a top seed, so it's like, sorry, something on my computer activated. I can't say its name, you know, because it'll pop back up. Anyways, like I said, you know, if you get so far down in the East, why risk Joel's help? You know, he's not going to be eligible, I think, for no All-NBA, no MVP. Probably won't be in an All-Star game. He'll just get stats, and you'll still probably suck, in my opinion. And I don't like it. Paul George with the knee brace is hilarious. I think it's just a mess of a year, man. It's really a mess. It makes you wonder because Daryl Morey lied about the contract to Harden, the max, the money he deserved. James Harden's been cooking in L.A. And right now, Paul George has been one of the worst players to ever play on a max contract right now. So overall, though, it's just a mess. As long as Jared McCain continues to do his thing, you at least have something to look forward to. Right now, though, it is a mess. 14 to 15, you have probably one of the worst teams in NBA history. The Washington Wizards are currently 2-18 and on a 16-game losing streak. They were 2-2 and have lost 16 straight. Yeah, it is horrible. They're probably going to be one of the worst teams in NBA history. Kyle Kuzma needs to go. Somebody FaceTime me. Anyways, Wizards just need to send their vets out. No point. If you're this bad with them, it's just time you send those guys out. Let your guy, Bub, Carrington, Alex Sarr, let those guys get all the minutes, all the clutch things, everything they need, man, to be successful. Let them do what they need to. Dan Lennon and his tricks on special teams is hilarious. Anyways, Oregon's about to go up 14-3. And for the Hornets, as long as Brandon Miller keeps doing his thing, he had 30 points on damn near 30 shots. That was kind of embarrassing. But overall, his development is key. LaMelo Ball is out with the injury right now. He'll be reevaluated in a few weeks. So right now, they had playing potential. I don't know, man. Shaping up as a bad year. Like, the Hornets thing is they just need to see success. They need to see wins. All right. You just can't keep being bad forever. Now it's time to switch to the West. West is best. First seed Thunder. Isaiah Hartenstein is back. He looks very impressive. Him, Alex Caruso, and Chet Holmgren have neither, all three haven't played on the court at the same time together, which is kind of scary because they're still really great defensively, even with them guys not playing all at the same time. So it's going to be really spooky. But SGA's look like an MVP candidate. I don't know. I'll talk about some other guys I think are above him. But, record-wise, he'll have it. He'll have one of the best records in the NBA. And he'll be probably the first seed in the West. He'll put up great stats. So he'll have a really, really good argument. But I don't know. I probably prefer a guy or two above him, at least right now. Number two, the Rockets. Currently on a two-game losing streak to the Kings, which I thought was a horribly rough game. But the Warriors, man, they lost to Stephen Curry and Draymond Greenless Warriors. Does that bother me? Hell yes. We can't be the Warriors. We just can't. It's been, I think, 16 straight, and we get them on the NBA Cup Wednesday on TNT, national TV. I just hope that game maybe really motivated everybody. Jalen Green looked horrible. I guess I'll just talk about it right now. There's really no more we can do with him. He just needs a fresh start. I'm trying to think of a way this gets better, but I just don't see it, man. I really don't. I just think it's time we move on. It's unfortunate, man, but it is what it is, all right? Yeah, so you're 15-8 though. They play the Clippers on Sunday. Just get string wins together, man. Just hopefully you can beat the Warriors on Wednesday. You'll play. I think the pro unfortunate part is if you lose the Warriors, you have to think play one of the loser of the Thunder and Mavs. So that's like now you're not gonna get an easy game if you lose. So I think you're better off just winning and getting to Las Vegas. Anyways, though, I'm proud of what they've been doing so far as a Rockets fan. But offensively though, with the game plan when you played the Warriors looked horrible. Just everybody just put up a shot. Hey, Alperen Şengün, my favorite player. He's just struggled so much in the first half. He needs to lock in. But overall, I still believe in this team. What it was important to me is creating a gap between you and that seventh seed, ensuring that you just get a playoff spot. Right now, you're two games ahead of the seventh seed. Just keep doing your thing, man. As long as you just make the playoffs. I'm talking about the offs. I don't want to talk about the playing. I don't want to watch the playing game. I'm scared to see these guys in a one-game winner-go-home setting. Granted, you probably want to be a 7 or 8 seed where you get another game. Still, I'm still scared to see that because right now the 9 and 10 seed is the Wolves and Lakers. You either run into LeBron or Anthony Edwards if you finish a 7-8 loss. That's not what you want to do. You probably want to sit there at a top 6 seed, man. Just keep doing your thing, though. Hopefully they reset on Sunday and, bounce back. Number 3, the Mavericks. Kyrie, Luka getting healthy. They had a great comeback win versus the Grizzlies. It's just important that those two guys stay healthy. Overall, Derek Lively caught a body on Darren Jackson. Overall, I like this Mavs team. Luka's one of the MVP candidates I was talking about with SGA. Him and Jokic, which I'll talk about a little later, they've been doing their thing. Grizzlies at 4, another team that's been doing their thing. And speaking of Jokic, he has currently 40 points, 7 assists or rebounds. Just insane. Anyways, though, Grizzlies and Mavericks are doing their thing. Just as long as they stay healthy, that is going to be important. Guys like Ja, Kyrie, Luka, those guys need to stay important. Grizzlies have had a lot of help. Scottie Pippen Jr., they're developing, man. I like what they do down there in Memphis. They develop players. Jae Huff looks serviceable. They got guys, man. So they're for sure a nice team to add somebody down around the deadline to improve that team. Not to say they need it, but, just would be nice. 5, Warriors. They strung a win versus the Rockets when they need to. Kuminga went off. Andrew Wiggins went off. I don't really like talking about this team, but I thought they would dive off. But, when you get the Rockets game, that's a free dub. Might get another one. Who knows? But overall, though, I guess they're doing their thing. They're solid. 6, Clippers, James Harden, Uno, Sunday night. I think had a 40-point game or 30-point. Anyways, it was a league game versus Nuggets and a win. He's doing his thing, man. My favorite player of all time. It's so great to see him do his thing. I said either way, if he gets his Clipper team to the playoffs or he don't, which either way would help the Rockets or either way help the agenda because he's such a great player. He's my favorite player of all time. So seeing him succeed is amazing. Kawhi Leonard is close to returning. If he can stay healthy, I love this team a lot, man. Norman Powell has not looked to drop off at all. I think this is just a new Norman Powell. He's a bucket. He's going to do his thing. Kevin Porter Jr. I still don't like as a player for them. Chris Dunn, Kai Jones, Trey Mann. Solid role players, all right? Number 7, the Suns. KD's once again out for, I think, a week or two. I think it's important that they just keep their head above water, end up in the play-in or playoffs, and if you got to shut KD for a month and a half or something, just to ensure he's healthy by playoff time, it's probably the best thing to do. Number 8, Nikola Jokic, who's currently my MVP favorite, man. He's just hooping. What's going to hurt him is the record, but granted, when I think about most valuable player, he is the most valuable player on the in the league. That Nuggets team is horrible. Their bench unit is horrible. Jamal Murray is probably one of the worst players on a max contract. Overall, I just don't like it, man. I don't like that roster. He's looking like the most valuable player every week. Every game he's showing up. That is the most valuable player. And he, like Mike Malone said it, when Jokic goes to the bench, he prays. Just because that's how bad everybody knows the roster is at the end of the day. So he's my MVP. He's doing his thing. Like I said right now, hello, let me look at it. They're playing the Wizards. They're playing the Wizards. And they're currently out down 83-91. Yeah, but Jokic, though, has 40 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon aren't playing this game, so maybe that's not his fault. But next, the next high scorer is Christian Brown at 12 points. Ain't much he can do, man. And that's the most valuable player in the league. Number 9, you got the Wolves. They've been stringing some wins together. Anthony Edwards, Rudy Gobert, Julius Randle kind of look like they, I didn't know if they really would really click, but they're starting to look good now. They're doing their thing. I thought Ayton was my MVP preseason. Don't look like that will happen. I just don't think they climb that far up in the West. But I'm talking out my ass because it's just December, man. It's early December. Anything can happen, all right? Number 10, the Lakers. I hate this team. Not just because you know the Lakers. I hate this team because they're just not that good. One of the worst perimeter defenses in the league. AD, LeBron barely can stay healthy. And I'm not just saying because they're out of games. LeBron and AD both nicked up their knee before going into overtime. Overall, they're just not a good team, man. Defensively, they just look clueless. JJ Redick, I want to say it's all his fault. This roster is just horrible. Any coach that would have been in the league would have struggled. This roster is not good. I don't like the role players. I don't think Max Christie, Gabe Vincent, Jackson Hayes, I don't think he's healthy still. I just don't like this team at all, man. Christian Coloco, I don't like it. I think they're horrible. They're just horrible, and that is what it is. They're at the 10th seed. The Spurs are at 11, which we'll talk about in a second, but they're just a they're just a game behind. Lakers need to stop playing with their food. The Kings can look good and climb up, man. So there's nothing there. You also can't make a trade. You don't have the pieces to make a trade to say, yeah, we're going to get better. Maybe we can sign somebody. I guess, yeah, do that. Oh, my gosh, SMU. I got Cade's over, though. But anyways, forgive me. So we got the Spurs at 11. Us, Wimby hasn't played a few games, but Lord, he played the Suns on national TV, and my boy he missed his like first 9 shots. You know, he shot like 8. He was like 0-7, 0-8 from 3. You know, he's a great 3-point shooter, man. But as a center, it kind of bothers me to see that because, bro, you're the tallest player on the court. Go get more buckets, all right? 12, the Kings. Like I said, they beat the Rockets earlier, and Drew Aller touchdown. Was that Nick Singleton? I think so. Anyways, though. Man, Penn State, oh yeah, there we go. Penn State's holding up for sure. Anyways, though, Kings, like I said, they just need to stay healthy. DeMar, Sabonis, Malik Monk, all their guys. The problem is they're just guys like Keegan Murray, like, is struggling this year. Kevin Huerter are struggling. Like, they're, like, usually efficient guys are just struggling, man. And that really can't be happening, you know. But if those guys can get their shot down, this team can easily climb back and be in the play-in. 13, the Blazers. Keep doing your thing, man. You're not going to be that good. Like, guys like Shaedon Sharpe, Donovan Cleveland, Scoop, Kamara, I don't know. Yeah, like guys like that, just, hey, man, go off. Let the rookie young guys do their thing. DeAndre Ayton, I really don't see in their folds. I think Robert Williams, the Time Lord, is still very good. I'd like him in the future over DeAndre Ayton. I think DeAndre Ayton is a great piece of trade, so why not? I don't think he should. I think he should be somebody moved at the deadline, him or Robert Williams. Whoever you feel like needs to go at the deadline. No reason to keep clinging DeAndre Ayton and Rob Williams, even though you know Rob Williams struggles with his health. You gotta trade somebody. Jazz, 5-17, predictable. You just aren't gonna be that good, man. Is what it is. You aren't gonna be that good. So, yeah, you're doing your thing. Let Lori go off. I don't know if Lori gets traded this year, but if he does, more the merrier, you know. Add up picks. Dylan Harper might not be going to Utah. His father, Ron Harper, said, hell no to that. But, hey, anything can happen. Lastly, got the Pelicans. No Zion. This team is not that good, man. They're overall just not a good team. They're unhealthy. It's just overall bad vibes in New Orleans, and their drop-off has allowed teams like the Spurs to be close on the play-in. Same with the Kings drop. Oh, excuse me. Anyways, yeah. That's it. A few teams drop off. Have little teams like the Spurs get close to the playing spot. But yeah, Pelicans, I think, are just all but out of any race. I don't know if they're gonna make some trades, but yeah, it's over. But that's it for NBA right now. I'm probably gonna rant a little about MLB in my second episode. That'll be right after this. That will probably be about mainly the NFL. So yeah, real quick before we wrap it up, let's talk some MLB. All right, so guys, last time we probably talked MLB, we didn't get a few we didn't talk probably a few signings or whatever. Juan Soto, I'm going off of CBS Sports, free agent tracker right now. Top two, top three: Bregman, Soto, Burns, all haven't signed. But granted, Mr. Juan Soto at the top is a reason for that. He and I heard the Mets and the Yankees are the top two teams. They're probably going over 700 mil for his talents. And yeah, he's gonna probably stay in New York. It's either gonna be the Mets or the Yankees. And yeah, dog, he's gonna get paid a contract. But he is the ripple effect. Once he signs, Corbin Burns and Alex Bregman will probably spawn a spot. Even though I don't think Bregman is going to either of those teams. I just think he's probably more of like a Detroit guy, like projected. Burns, though, is like a Red Sox, maybe a signee, because they're interested in Juan Soto. But hell, I think those are the top three teams: Red Sox, Yankees, Mets. Blake Snell signed a 5-year, $182 million deal with the Dodgers. He's just got a thing for the NL West, man. He's played with the Padres, Giants, Dodgers, and yeah, Padres, Giants, Dodgers. And no, I don't think he played for the Diamondbacks. But yeah, it's his third NL West team, man. That's ridiculous. He's a Cali guy, so hey, I guess he just loves Cali. Earlier today, Willy Adames inked a deal to the Giants. 7 years, 182 mil. Kind of crazy. The deferred money, by the way, for Blake Snell. He's been doing his thing. So Willy Adames, good deal for Buster Posey. I think it's the new leader of baseball operations down in San Francisco. Shane Bieber returned to the Guardians for a 1-year, $14 million deal with a player option. Luis Severino, what was the shocker free agency so far is that the Athletics dropped 3 years and $67 million for a pitcher. The A's saw what the Royals are doing. The A's saw losing teams spend money, and they're like, we want to get on that. And I respect that, man. So, hey, more the merrier to teams doing that. Gleyber Torres is still free agent. Clay Holmes inked a 3-year, $38 million deal with the Mets. Tyler O'Neill inked a 3-year, $49.5 million deal with the Orioles earlier. Was a target for the Royals, maybe, but I think Anthony Santander is probably on his way out of Baltimore with the looks of that. Tyler O'Neill need to get 3 years, $50 million. I think Frankie Montas, back to the Mets. I'm pretty sure 2 years, $34 million. Aroldis Chapman signed with Boston, which is hilarious. Boston fans, I don't think we're going for that. I think they, oh my God, did he pick that off? Yeah, SMU's done. They weren't ready. Yeah, he's seeing the deal though with Boston. A lot of them probably want him out. Who knows? Hey, he is in Boston though for sure. Overall though, yeah, that was their top 50 prospect free agents. So yeah, that's it for MLB. And that's it for this episode. Gonna talk a lot of NFL tomorrow with predictions and stuff. So thank you for listening. If you did make it this far, since this is the last of other sports I'm talking about, it's been a blessing. Talk about the NBA, the MLB, college football. It's been a blessing to talk about all this on this podcast, man. I'm blessed I get to just talk to sports on the computer and it actually uploads to an app. Regardless, these episodes will always be here. Unfortunately, today won't have a timestamp. I think I'm a little too lazy for that. Apologies, but it's a blessing. This stuff will always be up on Apple Music, Spotify, excuse me, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts. It's always uploaded rss.com. So I'm just blessed to have this platform to be able to do this. So yeah, that's it for the rest of the sports. We'll wrap it up talking a little NFL. And yeah, thank you guys so much. If you only listen to this one, you're real. Love you.